Well, good evening, everyone. This is Joan.
Hi, and this is John. And again, welcome all to our December 8th Ask the Archangel. Now, as always, we'll start with a channeling by Joan, and the Archangels have requested, like always, that questions only be about this evening's topic and be short and concise so that everyone has a chance to ask a question. Now, when you make the questions about tonight's topic, our friends can expand the teachings for you and the entire group. Here we go.
Okay. We ready to go?
You betcha. Everybody take a deep breath and help Miss Joan bring forth whoever would like to communicate with us tonight.
Greetings, beloveds. It is I, Yeshua.
Greetings, Yeshua.
I have come to be with you this evening. And as always, I come in great love. This month in your time space is a month of celebration. And many of you celebrate the lifetime in which I walked your planet, exhibiting my mastery. This is not the only reason that I have come this evening. I've come to encourage you to use your mastery in these times of evolution and change. It is so important that you begin to embody the template of fifth dimension, which is love and unity. To embody this, it takes a level of mastery that you all are capable of expressing. You have come during these times of great change, the times of the shift, as you call it, to exhibit the mastery that you have gained over many eons of time, many expressions of your soul as you embodied on Earth and as you took on form in other planetary systems, both in this galaxy, your galaxy of Earth, where Earth resides, and many other multiple galaxies that you are not very familiar with. But we are not here to discuss those. We are here to discuss you and your beautiful Christed planet. You as that Christed being of light. This has nothing to do with me personally. As the being, Yeshua, who walked this beloved planet of ours in great love, I too was that example of a Christed being. Meaning, not being special, but meaning an anointed one that exhibits the perfection of that Christed template. The original template that could be modeled to all planets within the solar system and within the galaxy so that they too could maintain a level of their Christed energies. So as humanity evolves and these times change dramatically, you are called upon to exhibit the mastery of your Christed nature. For it is in this transmission that you help the earth come out of the darkness of separation and fear, all of the division that you are seeing played out now so dramatically. This is what you came here to alter. And I'm just here to remind you. In the times in which I lived, there was much disruption, many wars, many conflicts, lots of judgment, lots of separation, lots of denseness. You are not having the challenges of this dramatic denseness that was present, but you are still having to contend with the darkness of separation and fear that is still in the collective consciousness. Know that it is not within you any longer, because you have attained an experience at a soul level of certain portions of you that have great mastery and can reflect that Christed energy. So it is in recalling why you came into this embodiment, recalling the template that you are asked to hold, this template of love and unity that perfectly exhibits that Christed matrix. So as you stay centered in this thought of unity and love, you can overcome this collective consciousness that is so driven in separation. You can open your heart generously, and you can love unconditionally, not putting any conditions on it that you have to think a certain way, or an individual has to believe what you believe, but just love them because you see within them their Christed light, even when they don't see it for themselves. You can rise to the occasion and see that glimmer within them. So now that we have had this little brief discussion that I wish to come and give you an encouragement to use what you have within you, I'd like to open this discussion to a more interactive discussion where you might make your comments, where you might ask your questions, so that we could be in a collective consciousness of unity and love.
Thank you, Yeshua. We are so pleased to have you with us this evening and obviously very honored. I have a couple of questions that some of our folks. So I'm going to go with this. The first one is, I would appreciate if you could speak of love from a fifth dimensional level and above perspective. My question is, if love is the substance things are made of, or does it have its own awareness? Is it a consciousness? I suppose these days I'm having some difficulty on how to relate to God.
Well, love has many, many aspects. And if you would like to speak of love from a more multidimensional state, you have to approach it as an element. Its function is a creative function. It is not an emotion per se. It's not that warm, fuzzy feeling that you get from someone you're fond of. It is much more dynamic and powerful than that. But you know, eons ago, humans could only relate to such things from their emotions or from their limited mental capacity. But that is no longer the case. Humanity is ready to step up and to see the fullness of what love is. From that more multidimensional state, is a very powerful creative force from which all things, both physical and non-physical, emanate. It is a part of Prime Creator, of the source of your being. It is an integral part of who you are at a soul-spirit level. No longer can you think of God or Source or Prime Creator as this being that is outside of you, generally having more masculine qualities, sitting on a throne. This is a very, very childlike perception that you have been taught, humanity has been taught for a long, long time, thousands of years. It was part of the separation template of third, fourth dimension. Now you are capable of not only stepping into fifth dimension, being a fifth dimensional being, but you are ready to use fifth, sixth, seventh dimensions more proficiently. And to do that, when you generously give love, it has a creative force, not just to make someone feel better, but it creates an energy in the environment that is very, very potent. In this pure expression of love, there is no judgment. There is no guilt. There is no, am I worthy, or any unworthiness. Because you see that the source of your being is you, within you. There is no separation in your source. You are an expression of the source of your being. And sometimes that's very difficult to get the rational mind around. So it's best not to try to compartmentalize it, but to just use your heart, open it, feel the love that is within you. Feel the source of your being as it emanates that love unconditionally, and operate from that format. You don't have to feel this great expanse that it will change everything dramatically, but just allowing that opening, feeling this openness within you, within the center of your being, and acknowledging that you are a part of Source, and there could never, is never, any separation. It's not outside of you. It's not this king on a throne. It is very much a part of you, having a human experience. And how you choose to have that experience is how you choose to use that element of love.
Thank you. The second question has to do with the 14 chakra system we've been talking about recently. And she writes in it, I would like to ask if the seven chakras above our head are our original Christed template. Also, that if they are, will our journey be completed when eventually they move into our body, such as the 11th becomes the 4th and the 8th becomes the root. Could you help us with that?
The 14 chakra system enables you to recognize more fully that Christed imaging in a more complete way. But that is not the end, dear one. There are more chakras than 14. that relate to multidimensional states of consciousness and beyond, where there are no dimensions. There's just pure consciousness. So, yes, it's very important that you integrate this 14 chakra systems, the non-physical with the physical. This opens the gateways for you to have a more expanded consciousness and be able to hold that Christed imaging more stably and consistently. The undifferentiated light that is held in that 11th chakra is a very important chakra and emanates the purity of love and light without any division. And when you are capable of drawing that into the physical chakras, the first 7 chakras, and applying that undifferentiated light very specifically to your life experience, you then create a level of ascension. There are many, many, many levels of ascension in relation to how you relate collectively and individually to the source of your being. So there is never any end to your evolvement. You are an eternal being. There is an end, however, to the physical vehicle. And when you attain a level of mastery, a level of consciousness, it is never lost. It is just built upon. Whether you take on an embodiment or not, if you go back into a collective consciousness, go back into that non-physical state, you still carry with you the level of consciousness that your soul has been able to attain, and it is merged with the purity of who you are at that spirit level. So yes, the 14 chakra system are extremely important in you attaining a consciousness of yourself as the image of the all that is.
Thank you. Great explanation. Now here's one a little more philosophical. And this gentleman writes, what's the difference between the Eastern concept of self-realization or enlightenment and the idea of ascension or developing the living light body? And does Kundalini play a role in ascension?
Well,
big question, sir.
There are differences between the Eastern concept of enlightenment and the Western thought system of ascension. And there are also very congruent likenesses. In the Eastern thought, enlightenment is achieved as what in the Western thought is considered consciousness, as it is in the East. And it, in this enlightenment, you as an eternal being grow and evolve eternally. And it is the same in the Western, although it is termed an ascension. And many misunderstood that ascension as being the ultimate end. And as I have stated previously, there are many levels of ascension once you leave the body. It's the same with enlightenment. There are many, many levels to enlightenment. Now, as to your question, is the Kundalini a part of the ascension process? Of course it is, because this Kundalini energy is that light, that Christed light energy that moves throughout the entire energetic system of the body and spirals up the spinal column in those first seven chakras, opening that crown to receive the energies of the upper seven, so that image, the divine image, can be consciously maintained.
Good, thank you. Just a couple more here, and this is sort of a process for this young lady. In our daily meditation, is it more effective to work with the undifferentiated love and light first, or to work with spinning the triads first? In other words, is there an order of importance with the triads and undifferentiated love and light?
This question comes from a linear perspective. And these types of energies are not linear. They are just energies to be used to expand the unified field, to expand the entire energetic field within the body and around the body. So there is no separation in the energy that emanates from within you, the source of who you are. So it is irrelevant if you spend time daily working with the triadic system. You know that triadic system is numbered for your convenience so that you can better utilize it until you open up to that broader state of consciousness that is within the energetics of that system. The undifferentiated light, it is always beneficial to use that undifferentiated light and draw it into the seven chakras of the body in its pure form. And as you draw it in, down through the crown, into the lower seven chakras, this also affects the unified field and the triadic system, bringing that pure light of source into the energetic mechanism. So try not to be confused, and try to get out of the rationality of it and just go with the pure energy of it as you draw in that undifferentiated light into the lower chakras and allow it to penetrate through all of the triadic system that forms that unified field. So everything is functioning in that beautiful, unified field of light.
Wonderful. One last question. It's in the form of advice. And this listener would like to know how, when you walked the earth, were you able to handle what you had described earlier in our conversation? You mentioned how disruptive it was and how many there were wars and just so many negative things going on, as we have today. And so the question is, could you give us some advice as to how we can handle that as effectively as you did?
Here again, we talk about your mastery, rising to the occasion and not allowing yourself to be caught up in that collective energy of fear and separation. Stay centered in your heart space. Open that heart to yourself first. You as that individual expression of the divine in a body that are having such challenges because of the division in the collective consciousness. So when you open your heart to yourself, find that center of peace within you with your breath, breathing in love, exhaling light, breathing in light, exhaling love. Several quiet breaths, and you will find that center in your heart space that is very peaceful and centered. when I walked the beloved earth, in the midst of those challenges, I often had to come. I had to stop and be aware of when I was being drawn in to the engagement of fear and separation. And I would always return to the heart space to stay centered and know from my level of mastery that I was never separate from the source of my being. And that just because part of the collective of humanity was choosing to play in the denseness of separation did not mean that I had to play also. Often I withdrew from human contact so I could remember who I was as a Christed being of light, so that I could remember my unity with the source of my being. And this you must do also, dear ones. You are very challenged now. There is so much chaos in your world. So it's important that you remember your mastery and you hold fast to that center of peace and your Christed image. Whatever that takes for you to achieve it and maintain it, spend the time for you staying centered so you are not affected by this chaos. The difference between your world today and the world in which I was embodied as Yeshua is quite different. The energetics of light and unity are much more dynamically available than they were in the dense times that I lived. So you have the opportunity to make different choices for yourself and to change a potential disastrous outcome. Because this is the time for humans to awaken and to remember their Christed image. So each of you can contribute to that by staying centered in your heart and remembering who you are. And that takes some, from time to time, just closing the door, being with yourself, and remembering.
Thank you, Yeshua, for such a loving answer. It's always terrific. So now we're going to open it up to our wonderful call-in group. And so who is going to be first? You're on with Yeshua.
Hello, Yeshua.
Hello.
Would you be so kind to sit with us, maybe for a few minutes, that we can center ourselves? Because it's a very tough time, I think, for everybody.
Yes,
maybe
it is.
Just a few minutes.
Yes, I would be delighted to do that. And I will do that at the very end of this session so that you can sit with me in it and remember. I will help you.
Thank you. About seventh ray of creation. What is that?
The seventh ray of creation. The seventh ray of creation was created so that very special beings, avatars, great teachers of light, could come into embodiment in their most purest form, even though it was compressed, so they could enter the physical realm. They came in on that seventh ray to be of service to humanity, to help in the evolvement out of the denseness of third dimension. And they use that seventh ray to return to their original collective state so that they can return and not be affected. Their purity of their being could not be affected by the dense separation template of the earth. And they return to that position of a vast collective consciousness through the seventh ray. They enter on it in purity, and they exit in it in purity. They are not restricted by this birth-death cycle. Do you see? Do you understand?
Yes. And can I ask you another question?
Yes.
Thank you. It hurts so much that's happening with animals right now. Would you tell us how we can help animals, how we can help ourselves, because I really can't handle the pain.
You're talking about animals?
That people abused animals.
Yes. Because they are very dissatisfied in themselves. They judge themselves harshly. And because of that, they lash out. And, of course, animals are very, especially domesticated animals, are very attached to the human. And they come to be a part of the human experience in love. And so it's very easy for them to be taken advantage of in people who walk in deep, deep depression, who have great difficulties in their psychological functioning. Because if they were aware, if they could do better, they most certainly would. It starts with their belief in themselves, what they have experienced. Some have never experienced abuse. But they have such harsh judgment for themselves that they lash out in any convenient way where they can misappropriately exhibit their anger. Most of them are very angry, the core of their being. So there is some compassion here. You have compassion for the animal who takes the brunt of that lashing out. But have compassion also for the perpetrator because they are in great pain. They do not love themselves and they are very angry. They do not love like you do.
Okay, let's move on to the next caller. Caller, you're on with Yeshua.
Hello, this is Rinka.
Hello, Rinka.
Hello, Yeshua. Nice to hear you. You were expanding about how to handle distractions of darkness and separation. And that was the thing I was feeling about when you spoke of it. And for me, the question still remains, of perhaps could you go some deeper when sometimes the distractions are so intense, It's difficult to use the breath to come out of it again.
Well, the breath is a very important part because the breath is part of the life force of the body. So if you will notice, if you will take notice when you are stressed, when you are in a stressful situation, or you are fearful, the breath does not flow freely, is tight, or you stop breathing. You're not even aware of it, but you are not breathing properly. So the body is not nourished. And so the neurology of the body is not able to function wholly and completely. And the brain does not allow for the circulation of thoughts of that more refined nature, because you are more concerned with either survival or you're in a state of fear. What is important for you to do is, in times when you are not in fear, or you are not stressed, or you are not in great distress of any kind, that you practice a breath technique of breathing in and breathing out very consistently. Breathing in and breathing out. And by breathing it deep into your diaphragm, so that it goes deep into your body, nourishing your body with oxygen, and then exhaling the carbon out. Breathe in love. Exhale light. It is the practice in times when you are not triggered that enable you to set up a very familiar exercise, so that when you are in that state of anxiety of any kind, just by taking a breath, you have a frame of reference. You remember, oh yes, breathing in consistently, breathing out, and all of a sudden things start to calm. Your body starts to relax. The oxygen flows freely. The neurology starts to function a little bit better, so that your higher mind and the thoughts that emanate from that higher mind are more readily available. But if you try to access it in times of stress when you haven't practiced, you don't have that template already established. Does that help?
That helps, and it feels very deep. But I'm practicing daily several times a day the breath exercise, and still it's when I'm distracted by darkness and separation, it's still very difficult to get to that quiet feeling again.
Yes, I understand. But continue your practice and possibly start to create a diversion that you can all have in place when those thoughts arise or when the situation arises. You know what triggers you. Be careful about the environment that you enter, that you allow yourself to become involved in. Be careful about what you listen to in either on the internet or on your television or whatever mode of communication you use. Be careful about what you subject yourself to, what kind of energies that you allow yourself to become embroiled in.
Okay.
So if you know that by watching certain types of movies or listening to certain newscasts that puts you in great distress, mm-hmm. then don't allow yourself to become embroiled in such an energetic environment because you know it isn't helpful. So it's in discerning and choosing also. Also having the confidence in yourself to know that you can change a situation in an instant just by breathing or changing your mind or changing the direction of your thought. moving the body, taking a walk, getting a drink of water. These types of things are an easy way to distract a present thought. Because, in fact, these separation templates, or the darkness that you call it, are thoughts that you have the power to alter.
Thank you for being. I appreciate it. You're on with Yeshua.
Hello, Yeshua. This is Gail. Welcome, and I'm so happy you're here.
I am delighted.
Before I ask the question, I just have to comment. I love the way Spirit guides us in that my question, I think, follows very beautifully with the one we just heard your answer for. So I was contemplating on the new world you're talking about, that we're creating of love and unity. Mm-hmm. And I would love for you to comment on the role of the arts, of dance, of music, of spoken word, of drama, and positive upliftment of those things, how this can be used to better create this world of oneness.
Because the arts, depending on where your interests lie, whether it be in dance or it's painting or it's creating something, building something, whatever it is, when you get into that creative flow, you are creating an energy that emanates from you through this art expression. It stays within that form for others to take part in, to observe, and to feel. It brings about a joy at both ends. It brings about a joy within you, within your state of being, to be able to express yourself in the light emanations through some form of art. It brings joy to those who observe it, who take part in it just by looking at it or viewing it in some way. So you are creating a joy. Not a happiness, but a joy that can never be fleeting. It's a state of being, that joy. And it's very much connected to the heart and connected to that element of love. So I think that the arts play a great part in this transformational process, because it provides a more expansive environment where that love and light and the joy of being in a body can be expressed and taken part in.
Thank you. I think particularly with the young people, it resonates and can help us move forward faster.
Yes.
As well.
Yes. And it gives a value to the world of form, to being in a body. There's value in that. And so many people spend a lifetime trying to extricate themselves from their body, not realizing what a valuable vehicle it is.
Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're on with Yeshua.
Hi. Thank you so much for being with us. I would like to ask you about the range of emotions. I've heard that humans on Earth have a great range and depth of emotions, and maybe in other parts, beings don't experience emotions in the same way. And I'm curious about how ascended masters might experience emotions. They talk of joy or ecstasy, or how angels in the angelic realms, how do other beings, non-physical beings, experience emotions?
They experience the energetic. They do not use emotions. Emotions is part of the human energetic dynamic. It's a creative force because it puts movement to the thought and actually is a part of the manifestation of a thought in form. And there are many levels to emotions. When you operate in separation, you operate at that lower level where there is fear, separation, anger, these types of things. When you can step into that middle ground where you have more peace and harmony and more love in your heart, in that higher range, the more refined range, is that range of joy, which is really, it is part of the emotional component, but it is also an energetic in itself. It's a joy of being, not necessarily in a body, although that can be experienced in a body, but it is also experienced, the energetic of joy, the energetic of love, is experienced at that non-physical level, at the level of the masters who are not embodied currently, or the angelic realm. They experience the energetics of it. They are masters of energetics, of energy. So it's kind of hard when you are in a body and used to a certain use of emotions to get away from the rationality of it and see that it's the energy that is expressed through an emotion that creates. And so therefore, those who do not have bodies that use an emotional body experience the energy. Does that answer your question?
Yes, yes, it does. It's very beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good evening. You're on with Yeshua.
Yes, many of us, I believe, have come to you through our work with Jim Self and Mastering Alchemy. And yes. One of the things I would like to ask is how do we integrate what we're learning about the undifferentiated love and light? How do we integrate that with the tools that we're learning through Mastering Alchemy, mainly the use of the octahedron and those things that we've learned through Jim Self?
Well, there's really not much difference. It's in the application. The undifferentiated light is a creative force. The love and light exists. There is no separation there. It's a creative force. So it's how you bring it into the body and then apply it. You can apply it through a geometry, which brings it more fully into the form, where you can use certain geometries to create certain energetic formats and experience them. So they're really, it goes hand in hand. Okay. Undifferentiated light flows through everything in creation. It is the pure, undivided, undifferentiated love and light of the source of your being, which is within you. And how you, as a human creator in form, choose to use it and apply it is up to you. It's your choice. So the teachings of Mastering Alchemy just teach tools of how to make those applications more consistently and precisely. Do you see?
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
You're on with Yeshua. Guess we've run out of questions. Do you think it would be time to do the... what you had promised the lady?
Before we do that, I have a question for you. And I would like to hear some response to this question. And my question is, what are you able to do in your life to raise a level of consciousness for yourself and for the collective consciousness? And where do you find the most difficult areas to navigate from your mastery? Does anyone like to comment on that? I've talked about my difficulties. What about yours?
You're on with Yeshua.
Hello, this is Gail.
Hello, Gail.
So I had an amazing conversation with a colleague today. I work in peace, and we were talking about partnerships and collaborating on various curricula and the arts and music and these wonderful posts that are for peace and justice that people paint, that organizations can paint to express their issues that they are going through or the mission statements of the organization, like the Civil and Human Rights Center that's here in Atlanta, or the Carter Center, or a school, or the police, and then the victims of police crime or police violence. And so my heart was so raised in this conversation of how this peace work and this collaborative, more importantly, the collective work, can really make a difference in the world when we partner up with those of like minds.
Yeah,
and
you are.
And so that's the positive part I wanted to share with you.
Absolutely right. It's in gathering together, in collaboration, that you create more force in the effect.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing.
The challenges have been in, and it's interesting to notice and observe myself, but have been in working with things that distract me from this mission. And for example, my dogs, when they bark or they are wanting attention, and not wanting attention, but when they are, quote, misbehaving, unquote, and distract me from that mission, and I feel like I need to then take myself away and interact with them. I know we talked about animals earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been an interesting dance, and I'll get angry and want to scream, and then I'll realize, oh, wait a minute, this is just a dog barking at a neighbor dog, and I'll have to go out there and stop the barking and bring them in.
Exactly. And you
and
will have those
part of
distractions.
Life. Exactly.
It's part of being in a collective consciousness. So you will always have those distractions. So the key to that, and you said it well, is to recognize when that anger surfaces, because it's a lower part of your emotions, and see it for what it is. Oh, it's just that. Take care of the situation and then move on.
Mm-hmm.
And always then you hold that center of peace. You don't allow yourself to get triggered. But when you aren't triggered, it's very important that you don't judge yourself harshly. You just notice, oh yeah, I see that. And then you move on. It's as simple as that. And the next time that comes up, you may repeat it, or you may say, oh yeah, I can do this instead of.
Mm-hmm.
So it's staying out of the judgment also. And recognize that distractions are just that, distractions. And you can be in them or not. Take care of it, and then you won't be distracted.
Yes, thank you. One other comment along those lines, and we recently had a puppy return to us. We breed our dogs, and we had sold a puppy, and it turns out the family she went to was having a lot of personal issues of divorce, mm-hmm. et cetera. So she was returned to us. And that distraction can be, could be, very distracting,
yeah.
resentful or whatever. But I realize the higher self in me and the mastery in me realizes that we are simply a way station for her to find that home that she really is meant to be in. And so
yeah.
I know there's a higher purpose for this level of distraction.
And you saved her probably from some abuse.
Hmm.
So it's in how you view it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're on with Yeshua.
Hello, Yeshua. I was really surprised. I guess you were feeling all of it here. What triggers us? And in my world, it is my family. I am triggered by my nuclear family. I'm triggered by my extended family and my husband's extended family. And I've had several conversations with your beloved, and she suggests it's all about my reaction, how I react. And I can be aware of that, and then I'm not. And then I guess you could probably speak better to this about, I feel, am I the only person in this family, large or small, holding compassion? Am I the only person in this family holding peace? And I guess the answer is, sure, yes. So could you talk more about that and how to feel okay with that job?
Yes. First of all, here's a piece you may not want to hear. It's all in the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
The judgment of self, that you aren't doing enough or that you aren't compassionate enough, and the judgment of family members that they aren't doing enough or that they are not compassionate. So perhaps it would be wise to let yourself observe when they do exhibit those qualities, instead of holding in a narrow frame a certain judgment that you have about that individual or that family member. You know, family is a very unique collective consciousness because it holds a lot of the genetic lineage patterns. And it gives us a chance to see where the anomalies are in that lineage. It's the lineage of the body. It's not the lineage of the soul spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives us an opportunity to see where those anomalies are, how they're expressed, and when they are overcome. And that is a beautiful thing to witness. So sometimes in limiting your reaction to the individual or operating from a narrow perspective of who they are,
mm-hmm.
it limits your ability to see when they make changes or when they unexpectedly rise to an occasion. So to help yourself step out of that, limit the reaction from a narrow frame that you have of specific individuals within the family unit.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
You're on with Yeshua.
Hello, Yeshua. This is Marianne.
First of all,
I wanted to tell you how much I love you. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful you're here tonight, and I am so grateful that you're there every day for me with my meditations, and I'm just so glad. I'm so glad. And, first is the biggest thing that I do in my meditations that was really tough, and they've gotten so much easier, and I know you know because you're with me every day when I do this, is I open up my heart. And I send light. And I send light to people that I love. But then suddenly I said, ooh, the most important place to send that light is in those dark places, is those places I don't want to send light to, those places that really hurt, those places that really scare me. And so I've been sending light to all the candidates in our country. I've been, all of them, not just the ones I like, all of them. I've been sending light to, you know, the Middle Eastern countries, the ISIS, the all the things that have been frightening and scary and all that. When I send light into places that are dark and not just light, into places that I love and I like, it is an amazing feeling. And I really, oh boy, the darker it is, the more the light is so penetrating and so amazing that I love it. But it was really tough. It was really tough at first, and now it's getting much easier. And I go back and forth. I'll send light to the dark places. I'll send light to the animals and my friends and my family and my house. And, you know, and then I go back, and I just go back and forth, and I've been doing it every day. And it is an amazing thing to do.
Wonderful for you. And now I'd like to add one little thing to that.
Thank
you. You know, dear one, love and light are never separate. So whether you realize it or not, when you send that light, you send the love that you are out into the environment.
It feels like it. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's the most amazing feeling because, yes, I open my heart and I just beam it out. And it is and it's amazing to see what happens when you send it into those dark places. It's phenomenal.
Yes. And it expands your ability to hold an open heart.
Yes. Yes, it definitely does. Yes. Yes,
well, thank you for your input. I so appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, you help me every day.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
You're on with Yeshua.
Hi. Yes. I know that in meditations when I'm using tools and specifically using love and light and trying to assist the planet, that it feels like it's being effective and it feels very powerful in a meditation. But then most of the day isn't spent in a meditation. So in just the daily space of interacting with people or going through my daily life, I wonder if I'm not able to be in that deeper state and being very specifically focused and using tools and also very aware that that it's working and that I know that it's being effective, then in just the regular time of daily life, I'm not sure what it is that I could be doing to be helpful.
Well, your meditation sets the foundation for you to operate more precisely in your life experience. So have a little trust and faith in yourself that when you are leading your daily life and you're called upon to be in the world, have faith that you will exhibit those qualities of love, unity, compassion. Will you do it each and every time, even when you're triggered? Probably not. But it's when you stay out of the self-judgment and recognize that you are building that foundation from which to transmit and experience your life more fully and completely. Because it's just as important to live life as it is to be in deep meditation. You came into embodiment to experience your divine image as an individual expression of the divine. And you cannot do it if you withdraw 100% of the time. There has to be a balance where you get the foundation of the energetics, and then you go out into life and you use it. Do you see? And trust yourself.
Yes.
Trust yourself and observe how you are doing without judgment. Thank you. That was a very good comment.
Thank you.
Okay, next, you're on with Yeshua.
I cannot let go of the control.
You can't let go of the what?
The control.
The control? Yeah, and why is that?
That's the hardest thing, to let go of the control, to stay in present, to allow the space and time move from me.
Yes. For you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's the most important thing here? Who's the most important being?
Me.
Yes.
Good.
So when you set your priorities and every day set a specific time that is your time, it could only be 10 or 15 minutes. It doesn't have to be hours. Just for you to touch in with your divine soul spirit, with the source of your being, just for a short period of time, and love yourself, for truly you are deeply loved.
Thank you.
You are welcome.
You're on with Yeshua.
Hello, Yeshua. This is Jenna.
Hello.
Could you speak a little bit about perception? What I do is, when I walk out the door, is, I guess the best way to frame it is to say, how many hearts can I melt today? You know, how many joyful exchanges and interfaces can I have out in the world? And to answer your question a little bit, nature really nurtures me. Interacting with nature, I enjoy animals when I have the experience of them, and my intention is to uplift and share my joy. So as I do that, there's a flow that gets created.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. seems to ease up people's heart space.
Yes.
And I find people, perhaps just because I'm so willing myself to embody those childlike qualities of, and my young grandson is a mentor for me for that, of just to be spontaneous and playful and have that kind of adventurous spirit.
Yeah.
It really frees us from that confine of adulthood.
Yeah.
You know, and of course I've had 4 years of professional training in expressive arts as a therapeutic experience for people. So, as you were mentioning, all of the ways of expressing ourselves with no agenda, not with desiring any result, but just being present for the joy of it.
Yes.
But just to come around, I've been wondering about perception and how broad and expansive is that scope?
It's pretty broad, especially for those who are always in their rational mind trying to figure things out. And the perception is often faulty, where the higher mind and the love that you are, as you express it, is pure. And it never is deceptive or has any kind of incorrect, what you would consider right or wrong. It just
right.
is pure.
Yeah, so is actual perception then a divisionary mechanism?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
It's very yeah. much a part of that third, fourth dimensional dynamic of separation.
And so
and it's governed by the rational mind.
Right. And so just the pure living in the presence of oneself and expressing and applying and demonstrating that with a capital T is the unity consciousness that dissolves any mechanism at all. Like, I see perception as a little bit of a dynamic.
Yes, it is.
That has been instilled in the fall of consciousness, right?
Yes, and it's been programmed.
Yes,
into,
and programmed
individual
conditions. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that joy of simply being childlike, living in wonder, and it's actually quite magical. I mean, there's
staying in the moment, not worrying about the future, not worrying about something that happened yesterday or last week, but staying present in the moment.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. That's the last question for the scene.
Dearly beloved, before we end this session together, I would like to lead you all in a short meditation practice of centering yourself in your heart, in your center of peace. And I would ask of you to remember this short little meditation and sit with me a while. You can call on me anytime and recreate this state of being, for it is always available. It never leaves you unless you choose to not be conscious of it. So, let us breathe together. Breathe in light and exhale love. And breathe in love deep into your diaphragm and exhale light. Continue the breath, breathing in and breathing out, gently and consistently, nourishing the body. Every cell is filled with the love and light of the source of your being. And the breath is nourishing the body, every organ, every cell, the neurology of the body. All is calm. Now focus your attention on your sacred heart, where the consciousness of unity and love resides. Part of you is your divine expression as an individual. Feel the expansiveness that is taking place in your consciousness. There's no limit to your consciousness and to how you can express that undifferentiated love and light of the source of your being. For you are that. You are that divine image, that divine expression. And the love is so expansive now. It's emanating throughout your energy field. It's calm. It has no agenda. Just pure love and light. It is who you are. Sit with me in this very calm, centered space. It is only a breath away. Remember this. It is only a breath away. One breath in, one breath out, and you are calm, and you are filled with that undifferentiated love and light, emanating it without limit. Every time you desire to come to this space, I will join you, and together we will emanate the purity of our Christed image in calm and harmonious ways. I will withdraw from this particular vehicle, this expression, but I do not ever leave you. For I, too, am only a breath away. Blessings.
Blessings.